Welcome to Deep Dive Genre. Oscar-winner Caroline Link is an award-winning director and writer. Her national and international acclaimed films include Beyond Silence, Pünktchen und Anton, Nowhere in Africa, A Year Ago in Winter, Der Junge muss an die frische Luft, When Hitler Stole Pink Rabbit, and the TV series Safe. She is a founding member of the German Film Academy and active in various charities such as World Vision or Children for a Better World. We talked to her via video call for this interview. Caroline Link, welcome to Deep Dive Genre.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Thank you so much for sitting down with us today and taking the time. You've directed and written quite a number of iconic and important films, which are part of the German and the international film oeuvre. Beyond Silence, Nowhere in Africa, or When Hitler Stole Pink Rabbit, amongst them. I'd like to take a brief step back to the beginning of your directing career, if I may. Usually there's a movie or a series that really impressed and moved our interview partners to make them want to tell stories on screen. But I listened to another podcast that you did with Bayern 2, where you mentioned that it was slightly different for you. Can you tell us a little bit about how you became a director?
When I went to school in Munich, the only thing I really knew was that I would love to do something with children in my job later. I didn't really go to the movies a lot. I wasn't really into cinema, or I wasn't what you could call a cinephile, film buff. I didn't really go to the movies a lot. The only thing I knew that I have a good connection to children. So when I finished school, I went to Los Angeles. I stayed a year with an American family. I took care of their children. And I had a good time, which had absolutely nothing to do with movies, even though I was close to Hollywood. And when I came back, I worked as an extra, as a comparse, an extra on film sets. And then slowly I realized, okay, this kind of work is something that I find interesting. This kind of work, being creative, telling stories, could be something that I like. But still always in the back of my head, the idea of working with children. It was really the priority in my interest was really more life and childhood than it was actually filmmaking.
And you studied documentary film at the HFF Munich. I think you also mentioned in that same interview that you found that the application process for that was better suited to you. But obviously, you gravitated to telling stories in features. And what I really appreciate and enjoy in your films is, in addition to your often subtle character psychology, the focus on aspects of coming of age and the fragility of family structures in pressure situations. I mean, you just mentioned that you do gravitate towards stories that put children's experiences and emotions in focus. Do you have any idea why that might be?
No, really honestly, I don't really know. Only that I was always interested in, I read a lot about psychology, about children's psychologists. And finally, 2 years ago, I could make this thing that I always wanted to do. And that was a series about a child psychologist who does play therapy with little children. That was really something I considered for a long time, to study at the university psychology and work with kids. When I was on the set as an extra, I realized that there are not so many jobs on a set that could satisfy me for the rest of my life. I really always wanted to tell my own stories then, and I realized, okay, as a filmmaker and as a writer, I might have the chance to talk about the things that I find interesting in life. So life came first, and then movie making came. And I think I had the idea that I can tell stories with children because I think it comes very easy to me, or natural to me, that I can relate to the emotions of children. I didn't really want to make movies for children, but with children, or tell something about the society, the world we live in, the world the children live in, and look at that world through the eyes of the children. It was in Beyond Silence that I took a child protagonist, not because I wanted to make that film accessible to children, but I wanted to show the special interests and the special challenges of deaf people. And through that little girl in the center of the story, it was easy for me to write a story that is, how do you say, accessible to hearing people and to people who have nothing to do with deafness, but who can go through the child into the world of the deaf, for example. And the same with Africa, really. I mean, that little girl, the 9-year-old girl, the Jewish girl in the story of Nowhere in Africa, takes us to Kenya, takes us to that challenge, to that being, you know, planted from one day to the other, from Germany into Africa to Kenya, and how she copes with that much better, by the way, than her parents. That was for me the key to enter that world. It's always, the children are always the key to go in an adult challenging situation in a way.
Mm-hmm. And if I'm correct, you've written the scripts to all of your films. And I was wondering, no? Okay.
No, I didn't write the screenplay to my most successful film, which should give me something to think. Because Der Junge muss an die frische Luft, The Boy Who Needs Fresh Air, or in some countries, I think it was called All About Me. But in Germany, Der Junge muss an die frische Luft was my most successful movies with 4 million, almost 4 million sold tickets. And this screenplay I did not write. This was written by Ruth Thoma after the novel from Harpe Kerkeling, a famous German comedian.
Mm-hmm. Which answers my next question, which was, would you ever direct a script written by someone else? Obviously, yes.
Yeah, it's an interesting question, because usually I don't. Usually I don't, because I... this is really, it always comes back to where I come from, you know, and since I am not so much a cineast, I'm not so much somebody who does movies because she likes or she likes movie making in general, but it's because I want to tell about life, about people, about characters that move me, that interest me. I always come more from my very personal perspective onto life, and that's why the screenplays that come in on my table sometimes don't really have anything to do with me. You know, I can only turn material, novels or ideas into movies if I have some very personal connection to it. And that's maybe because I'm really not such a cineast, I must admit. I'm just much more a life observer in a way.
Mm-hmm. And I was also wondering if maybe writing the script is already part of your directing work. I mean, there is something called director's version of the script, which most directors do anyways. But I was wondering if maybe you were already combining all of that.
Yeah, the advantage is, I think, if, when you wrote the screenplay yourself, you know why you wrote scenes the way you wrote them and why characters say lines the way they say them. I mean, I feel very much at home in my own screenplays. I know exactly why which scene is the way it is. And that's good, because when you direct, you need to know why you're telling certain things the way you want to tell them. On the other hand, it limits you sometimes, because I always catch myself in situations on the set that I think I know how a sentence or a line has to be said, because I heard it in my head many, many times during the writing process. And sometimes I realize that I am not open enough for suggestions and ideas that come from other people. So I always have to remind me, okay, I am the writer, yes, but I should be, as a director, I should always welcome new input from other people. And that's sometimes the struggle between me as a writer and as a director.
That surprises me a little bit, because you also mentioned in an interview that you quite like to discuss your ideas and scripts. So I would think that that process already involves a lot of feedback.
Yeah, I'm only saying that I realize the challenge that it is as a writer, because you like your sentences, you have them in your head, you know why you wrote it that way, and then somebody comes and says, let's turn it all upside down and do it the other way. Then I, as a writer, I feel I have to protect my scenes, you know. And the other challenge is that I worked so much with children who don't really discuss the scenes. And I tell them exactly how I want the scene to be. And there is a challenge to not do it that way with professional actors, with grown-up people who have their own heads on their shoulders. It's a whole different work, of course, to work and discuss material with professional actors than it is to work with children. So I'm constantly talking to myself as a writer and a director how much influence from the outside I let in, and how much I should be open. And I tell me when I lie at night in my bed, I tell me, come on, tomorrow you must be more open for discussion, and tomorrow you must be more welcoming of new ideas, because the writer in me always wants to protect the scene.
Mm-hmm. Going back to children often being sort of into the stories, I noticed that, you know, in a lot of reviews, people tend to think, oh, this is sort of a story with a small scale world, but it's not. I mean, your stories, they're very topical and quite big on a societal and political scale, like sometimes scarily so, as in the case when Hitler stole Pink Rabbit. And incidentally, that particular film or story was quite a long journey, because I think you mentioned that before you actually committed to making the movie, that it had been with you 5 years prior.
Yeah, I honestly didn't really want to do it at the beginning, because I thought it has too many similarities to Nowhere in Africa. Again, a Jewish family fleeing, escaping the Nazis, going to places where they don't really find a new home and all this. And also, again, a nine-year-old girl in the center of the story. I didn't find it very challenging. It wasn't that I thought for 5 years about that material, but it always came back to me. People always thought you should really make this movie. And then I finally found this little nine-year-old wonderful Riva Krymalowski. And when I had her, then I thought, okay, with her, I can tell the story, because she's so talented. She's so warm-hearted, and she is Jewish herself. She knows what she's talking about, even if she's only a little girl. So I wanted to do it. And that children's book wasn't easy to transform into a movie, because Judith Kerr wasn't happy with the screenplays and all this. So then I finally decided to, okay, let's try it. Let's do it. Let's, if I get the chance, I would like to do it. But what you said before, I think, is interesting, because for me, movies always, if you want to make a successful movie, it has to have a universal topic, you know, where you say, okay, this might attract people to buy a ticket and to go in the movie theater. But I think, honestly, what the most important thing is that the heart and soul of a movie is strong. And that is always, in my case, it always comes down to emotion. I think people go to the movie theaters because they want to laugh hard, or they want to be in a suspenseful, scary, exciting movie, or they want to be deeply moved. And I don't know a lot about comedy and scary movies, but I think I know something about emotions. And I think if the center of the movie, the soul of the movie, is not intense enough, emotional enough, then there's no use to travel to Kenya or to make a movie about deaf people or something. If the center of the story, the heart and soul of the story, is not strong enough, then all this outside story, theme, topic, has no value.
Yeah, absolutely. Sticking with literary adaptations, because you've done quite a few projects where that is the case, do you find it personally harder to work with a literary original and then adapt it to a script, or does it make certain things easier?
Oh, it makes the situation for me, it's much easier if you have a great novel where you can use what you like, you know, you have great situations, scenes, even dialogue sometimes, not all the time, because a movie is a movie and a novel is a novel. But if you can even use dialogues out of the novel, then it's a big present, you know, then it's a big advantage. I know what works, you know. Then still it's a challenge to make a movie out of it, you know, because you have to have a certain dramaturgy, how to pull the audience into the screen, you know. But I think to start with a blank page is challenging, very challenging.
You tend to work frequently with creative collaborators such as camerawoman Bella Halben or set designer Susanne Belling. How important is a shared creative shorthand for you?
I think it's wonderful if you know your crew members and they know you and they know what you like, what you don't like. You don't have to start from the beginning, from nothing, you know, on the first day of preparation. They know what you like, and it's a family feeling. They know you. You know, making a movie is a long journey. And I actually really went on huge journeys to Morocco, to Kenya, to other places. And to have friends on your side who know you also, who know you under stress situations, who know how to give you strength, and you know how to handle them and how to support what they need and what their maybe weaker sides are and stronger sides are. That's so much easier than to start. But even then, sometimes I think, okay, you have to be open for new input, you know, like, for example, Der Junge muss an die frische Luft. I had to find another camera person because Bella was busy. So I worked together with Judith Kaufmann, who is an excellent camera woman. And so that was a great experience. You know, sometimes it brings fresh air into the system when you work with new people. So I don't know. I just like to and I love to work with my friends, and they are friends, not only working partners.
And as you just mentioned, the making of a feature film takes up several years. Is it hard for you to say goodbye to the characters and their stories when you have spent so much time with them, and to let them out into the world and see how the world treats them and enjoys them?
No. Most of the time I'm sick and tired of the editing room after a while, and I'm very happy when we're done, actually, because I like being in the editing room, but... Mm-hmm. It's you know, the good thing about my job is that it has so many different aspects. And when I'm in the editing room, I'm looking forward to shooting, or when I'm shooting, I'm looking forward to editing or writing or thinking about a new story and all the different options that you have from the first idea until the last sound mix is done. It's a very creative process with very many different challenges and moments. But when the movie is finally done, of course, I'm very curious and nervous whether it's how it will be received. That is something. But I don't say goodbye to the characters. It's a movie, you know, and I love my movies, but I wouldn't say I love my characters. I love my movies. My movies are my babies. That's true. And when somebody attacks one of my babies, I'm very, protective about it, and I like it very much when this huge mountain has been climbed and is done. Then after a while,
you mentioned your project, the TV series Safe, earlier. If I'm correct, that was the first time you ventured into television, and I was wondering how you found working in that world. Was it very different?
It's very different. Working for this television is very different. I mean, you have much less time. Mm. You have much less money, which was in that case not such a big problem because we shot the whole series more or less on one location. It was during Corona times. And I remember every morning we had to go through that those Corona tests. And it was a very stressful time outside. And we were pretty happy to be on that island in this one villa in Berlin where we shot therapist location. Yeah, I mean, the time pressure is imminent. This is some main difference to movie making. I mean, to cinema movie making. But other than that, I was so happy to be able to finally do this, because that is really something that I always wanted to do, to write the screenplays and work together with children's psychologists on how to treat kids who have been traumatized, who went through a lot, how to work with them, what do they do, what do therapists do with little children, 5-6-year-old children, if they cannot always talk with them. You know, you don't talk with little kids who are traumatized. You play with them, and through play all those experiences come up, and that's a whole different psychological approach to little kids, and I found that so interesting. There again, I realized I'm much more interested in things like that than in the movie making process in general.
Mm-hmm. Now I have a few rapid fire questions for you. Is there a particular story that you would still like to tackle?
No. If there was, I would do it. You know, I'm developing. I'm growing older. I'm 60 now. You know, I don't want to tell the same stories anymore that I wanted to tell 5 years ago. And so that changes. And right now I'm writing a screenplay where there's not a single child in the whole screenplay. That's probably because after Safe, the series, I realized, okay, I did enough with children for the moment. I would love to work only with professional actors.
What would you say is the biggest misconception about the work of a director?
Of the professional world or the regular people?
Of the regular people.
Well, I always find it funny what regular people on the street who have nothing to do with the film industry, what they think a director is doing, because they say, okay, you have great actors, you have great camera people, you have makeup people, you have everybody. What do you do then? And for me, it's always, I always try to tell them that I try to make very personal movies. So you have to make about 100 little micro decisions every day, whether they come from the right or the left, whether they wear this t-shirt or that t-shirt. I get great suggestions from my departments, but the whole stamp you put on a movie is made by 100 micro decisions that you do every day. And that's hard to understand for people sometimes.
Mm-hmm. I assume the work has changed over the course of the years. And I was wondering if technology has made it easier or harder to do the job as a director?
Everything, like always in life, has, has advantages and disadvantages. Being able to shoot on digital material is in a way a blessing, especially for my last series, Safe. It was wonderful to let the camera run. We mm-hmm. just collected material with the kids. We had small kids on the set, and sometimes the camera woman and I, we decided to just film almost everything to get some good authentic little movements or whatever. And at the same time, the concentration was so different when we had film material in the camera. I remember shooting in Kenya, and when the camera was running, it was the holy moment. Everybody froze, and it was, ooh, the camera's running, you know. Yeah. Today the camera's running and it's not a big deal because the material costs nothing. So the concentration is different, but it also leads to some relaxation. Other than that, I don't really think that things are so much easier. The critical things stay the same and will always stay the same. Is the emotion right? Is the scene believable, authentic? Is it moving enough? Are the actors right in that moment? And these things you cannot delegate to some technical machine. You have to see it as a director in the moment. And if you don't see it, well, too bad, then it's not there.
Okay. You just mentioned a script that you're working on. Can you share a little bit more, or can you share like a rough timeline when you think the project might be ready for the public to see?
Oh, that will still take a while. I'm just writing on the screenplay. I'm working on the screenplay. It's a love story between mm-hmm. two people who meet at the university, and the story follows them together for a few years until they, at the end of the story, I don't know if I should say that, but they have no happy end together, but in a way they have a happy end because they're very meaningful for each other. It's a story between a climate activist woman and a young lawyer, and it's a big love story, I hope. I try to make it a big love story.
Thank you so much. It was a pleasure. Thank you for sitting down with us today, Caroline Link.
Thank you very much for your interest.
Short Take is produced by German Films, the National Information and Advisory Center for the Promotion of German Films Worldwide. To find out more about our guests, check out the links in our show notes. To stay up to date with our episodes, subscribe wherever you find your podcasts.